Open your Bibles, please, together with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Our text this morning is verse 3, but verse 3 is the beginning of a very long sentence in the Greek text. It goes all the way to verse 14. So I'm going to read the whole thing. We're probably going to read the whole thing for several weeks, but we're going to take it piece by piece as we work through it. So follow along as I read verses 3 to 14, and we'll focus on verse 3 for this morning. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we do love you, and we come as your children. We need you to meet with us now, to take these good and true, overwhelmingly good words and feed us with them. Would you work by your mighty Holy Spirit to take these true words and to grow us up, to give us what we need, to strengthen us, to conform us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, please now, would you help us all come to learn from you and your word, that you might glorify yourself by your Spirit, for the sake of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So what do you think of when you think of the blessed life? What do you think of? Just have some images that pop up into your minds. It's funny, when I think of that word, I almost automatically go to the first scene of The Sound of Music. I'm in the Swiss Alps, and the wind's blowing the grass, and that's like awesome. It's beautiful. Or maybe for you it's something small, like just sitting around with a family around the fire, being cozy and warm. That's the blessed life. Or maybe it's just a feeling. Maybe it's just warmth or safety or acceptance or love or abundance or peace. Those are good things. Those are all really, really good things. We were made for those things. We yearn for those things. And when the new heavens, the new earth, there's going to be a place of beauty and love and peace and abundance all the time. So all those things aren't wrong. They're part of that blessing. But it's interesting that the word blessing comes from that root word to say or speak. That's where the Greek word comes from. It's to say something. Blessing, as its most basic, is about speaking something, giving praise. Sometimes blessed, that Greek word is translated flattery. It's a false praise, but it's that praise. That's what it means to bless something. To bless someone is to praise them, to proclaim their good. So when we ask God to bless us, we're asking God to speak good to us, but he's not hoping. When he speaks good to us, it becomes so. So we're not saying, God, just say you wish for us to be blessed. When he speaks, the blessing is, this is what you are now. You have this. Boom. That's the amazing reality of God's blessing. It's the opposite of curse. Instead of speaking harm, it's speaking good. So as we understand what blessing is, this God proclaiming or people proclaiming praise, this is going to give us a deeper appreciation of our understanding of our text this morning, and really of this whole long sentence that we're going to be exploring for several weeks. The wonder of God, who is the blessed one, he has every blessing, every good thing is found in him. It's right to proclaim his perfections, the wonder that he blesses us. He speaks good to us. He says, this is who you are now because of Jesus Christ. He draws us into his blessing so we get to share in his glory because of what Jesus has done. So in him we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, every good gift, every good thing comes from God. He withholds nothing from us in Jesus Christ. God is blessed. In him we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Bless, bless, bless. That's what we're about this morning. And I hope this will be an encouragement to you as we study this word this morning. Blessed God. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Blessed, blessed, and blessing. This is a message of encouragement about what God has done. I hope this will encourage you. Our passage this morning has two main sections. Blessed be God who blessed us. So blessed be God who blessed us. And that's how we're going to break up our sermon this morning. As we see God this morning, we're going kind of slow. This is just such packed stuff. I want this to encourage us. As we see what God has done and we see God more clearly, that should deepen our love for him and our desire to live for him more fully in all the craziness and the mixed up stuff of this life. This is what we need. So let's start with the first phrase, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul begins by proclaiming, blessed be God. The word be isn't actually there, it's implied. If you have New King James or New American Standard, it's italics. It's saying that's not there. It's literally blessed the God and Father, which isn't it's grammatically incorrect, which this whole sentence is grammatically incorrect. This is a very long and unwieldy sentence. But here, he sometimes just gets excited. It's blessed the God and Father. And probably he's not saying blessed be as in I really hope God is blessed, or he should be. It's blessed is. God is blessed. Paul's proclaiming the reality that God is blessed. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's declaring what is. God is the blessed one. We have grace and peace from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we saw last week. We have that. In response, Paul turns and says, praise. Praise be to you. More and more, you are blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote, praise should be the characteristic of all saints, of all Christians. What should characterize us as believers? We should be the people who praise God because we've seen him. That should be the zeal of our hearts. Blessing. Bless the true and living God. And yes, God displays those attributes and perfections in how he treats us. We see the blessedness of God in the work of salvation most clearly. So the whole sentence, 3 to 14, is mostly about what God has done for us. But Paul starts here. This is the ground of all the blessing that we have from God is in who he is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all rooted in the blessedness of God. All he has done for us to the praise of his glorious grace. All he has done for us to display his glory. So that's the core for those who have come to know the living God, is to bless God, to see him. So we have the right response of praise. That's what our response should be. In one sense, it's a right response because this is just a recognition of truth. When we praise God, something we hope for, we're just saying this is what is true. If you are a person interested in the truth, then the fundamental truth of reality is the glory and goodness of God. That's the fundamental of all reality. Praising him is simply stating what's true. Psalm 29 begins, ascribe to Yahweh, O heavenly beings. He's saying, angels up there, you ascribe to God. It means say something that's true. Say, this is who he is. Ascribe to Yahweh, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to Yahweh glory and strength. Ascribe to Yahweh the glory due his name. Worship Yahweh in splendor and holiness. Speak the truth. When we praise God, we're just saying what's true. We who have come to know the living God remember and we speak what's true. The thing is, we often forget that, don't we? We forget God's great. Blessed be him. We often start getting wrapped up in, wow, this world's scary. Or I don't have enough. Or my problems, and we're losing track of who God is. So we have to remind ourselves of what's true. Sometimes saying blessed God is just a reminder. Remember, he has every blessing. He is truly good. We speak it to each other. We speak it to the world. And we speak it to those angelic beings, watching powers. We're in here praising God. There are beings watching this. And we're saying, this is true. He's glorious. And that's what the unity of the church is about. That's why we're here. Romans 15, Paul says this. This is really, really wonderful. Romans 15, verse 5, Paul says, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul said, look, we have a God of encouragement and endurance. We need that. We need encouragement and endurance. We're not good at this. So we have him. And what has he done? He's given us something. He's given us harmony so we can be together. Not based on ourselves, but in accordance with Jesus. He's the model. And why are we in harmony, in accord with Jesus? So that with one voice, we can say, God is glorious. With one, that's why we have unity. So we can have one voice to say what's true. God is blessed. He is glorious. With one voice, we glorify God. A voice of truth to the praise of God. That's not arbitrary. This is what the work of God is all about, to display the truth of himself to a twisted, blinded, and self-destructing world. The world needs to see his glory, and that's what he's given us to do, to have one voice focused with Jesus to say, God is good. When we with one voice bless God, we're showing the world there is truth. There is beauty. There is goodness. There is love. And so we need to remember it so we can show the world that needs to see it. In very large measure, that's what the church is for. We are those who bless God. We glorify him so the world might see, and some will turn from their path of death and come to life in Jesus. But it's even more fundamental than that. The truth of the blessing of God is what existence is all about, not just what the church is all about. But that's what existence is about. God created the world to declare his glory. That's why everything is. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies above proclaim his handiworks." Why is it up there? To show God's glory. The whole world was created for that purpose. Our call to worship this morning, we started with Psalm 97. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him, but righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. So that God is the God of inapproachable light. He's in deep darkness. We can't know him. Jesus reveals him, but all the world reveals him. And as we see him, we're proclaiming his goodness and seeing all these things so all the people can see his glory, because the world needs to. His glory is the foundation of all reality. And all creation displays that glory and power and righteousness and justice. And see, that's the real blindness of sin. Is that everything was created for God's glory, because that's where all goodness is, all truth is, all love is, all beauty. That's why it was created. And in sin, we've turned away from that to find something else. And in that brokenness, we've lost track of it. And so we're lost. So God sent his son to make a people that we might have unity to proclaim his glory to a watching and needy world. That's what everything is about. So when you think of the pictures of heaven and the spiritual realm and our future, it's always filled with images of glory, glorifying God. This is what life is about. This is what your life is about, and what it's always going to be about. Do you remember that scene in Revelation chapter 4? The images of heaven, they're all around the throne. I have this in your handout. It's verses 8 to 11. If you don't have a handout, you may want to turn Revelation 4, 8 to 11. It's the image of the four living creatures, and each of them with six wings. And what's going on? What's going on up in heaven? What's happening all the time? What's it about? They're full of eyes all around and within, day and night, they never cease. And what are they doing? They're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." It's always, that's what it's about. Holiness, holiness, holiness. Look at God. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne, and they worship him. Who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. You created all things, and by your will they existed." Like, everything's about his glory. That's what reality is about. So the angels, and I love that, it says they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy," all the time. And every time they say it, the 24 elders throw their crowns down and say, "Worship you." So they're always doing that because they're always saying it. What's the point? This is what it's always about. Creation, life, existence was always about, is always about, and will always be about the glory of God. Blessed be God. is what life is about. So, dear friends, we need to work and endeavor not to get so wrapped up in our needs and struggles that we miss the big why of everything. That doesn't mean we ignore our struggles and ignore our needs. But when we don't have the big picture perspective, those needs and struggles overwhelm us. But when we have God's glory as our goal, then we take all those needs and struggles and we find peace in Jesus. We know there's a God who's ruling over all things, even all those struggles that often distract us from his glory. So that's what we have to work to remember. Because we can trace all of those needs back, all of those struggles, trace it back to we need to see more of the glory of God, to believe him more and see him more fully, because then we see he's always working everything for our good. We're safe. We can trust him more and more. So we got to keep that focus. Remember, the glory of God is what life is about. That will be insanely practical for you. That's not like just some theoretical thing. That's how you bear the burdens of life. That's how you move forward into the struggle, trusting in the glory of God to know who he is and his power and his strength is for you because of Jesus. So praise is the right response of the Christian to say, the glory of God is what I need. He is the one who's true, and I want to see that and live for him and find his light and his peace and his joy and blessing. But if the praise is the right response, what's the focus of our praise here? I just want to do this briefly. Notice how Paul puts it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sentence earlier we saw last week, Paul wrote that the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But here Paul's a slightly different emphasis. It's not God our Father. It's God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? It's a little bit of a different thing. Paul actually uses that phrase a lot. Through a lot of his letters, this God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a little subtle shift there. God is our Father because God is his Father. And Paul's trying to get our minds fixed there. He is the God and Father of Jesus, and that's important. So Paul does this all the time. And I think Paul does this, he habituates himself to think this way, to speak this way, because he's trying to saturate our minds with the truth that all of our relationship with God comes through Jesus. He's our Lord, and that's why we can have that Father. But also that Jesus' work is always focused on the glory of God. He was always about God's glory. Remember in Revelation chapter 1, it says that Jesus says he made us a kingdom and priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God, what was Jesus here to do? He was he's going to save sinners. Yes, but he was making a kingdom and priests to God. He wanted a people to glorify God. That's what he was doing. So it's not really so much about us, but he's doing this purpose for God. He's glorifying God so that we would be able to glorify him. Jesus is the one who does it. He makes us a kingdom of priests to his God. That was the work. Everything he did was to the praise of his Father. Do you remember 1 Corinthians 15? Jesus defeats every enemy, every authority. It's like this victory. Victory in Jesus. He's going to defeat everything. Why? Well, because he's going to give all that to the Father. Right? Verse 24 says, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. Why? Jesus came to defeat every enemy, to show his power so he could give it back to his Father. It always goes back to the Father. He did everything for the Father's glory. He came to defeat every power and authority and opposition to God. And when he has completed that task, he gives it all to the Father. It's about his glory. When Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross in John 17, he puts it all in the context of his Father's glory. He's about to go die. He's about to accomplish all that God gave him to do. And he says this, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. Why? So that the Son may glorify you. Since you gave him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. All that work. He said, you've given me all this work. You've given me all this authority. I'm going to go die, so glorify me. Why? Why glorify me? So I can glorify you, Father. It's all about the glory of God. That's why as a church, we purpose to focus on the glory of God over and over. That's why we talk about it so much. We're reminding ourselves over and over that God's glory is the purpose. God's glory is the reason. His glory is where we find our truth and beauty and joy. It's what everything is about. We keep getting wrapped up in our glory. And that's the lie. That's the bait. Live for your glory. You deserve more glory. You can be like God. But the hook in the bait is death. See, that's not true. Seeking your glory isn't going to give you joy. Isn't going to give you purpose. It sounds true. Maybe some of you are believing that today, believing the lie of the world to live for my glory, pursue my glory. That's where I'm going to find everything I'm looking for, but it's not true. That's the way that seems right in our eyes, but that way is the end of death, ends in death. It doesn't take you where you want to go. It's the easy way. It's the broad way. Jesus says that's the broad way that leads to hell. It feels right. Yeah, live for me. That feels right. Yeah, we love that. But it's not right. We must live for God's glory. As we come and see God's glory, that's the way of hope. That's the way of joy. That's the way of acceptance and fulfillment that we're looking for. The foundation of reality, the true meaning and purpose, is something vastly bigger than ourselves. It's something worth living for. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all for him. And it's all through Jesus. He is the way. It's through him. He's our Lord. And it's for his Father. So we see, blessed be God. You see how big that is? That's the purpose of our life. That's the big thing that's worth living for. So we look at who God is, but now let's look at what God does in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us. So here it turns to us. What has he done? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now the ESV puts in Christ at the beginning, but in the Greek text it's at the end, so your Bible may have it in a different order. But that's the order we're going to take it in. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, I just want to walk through that. And I want you to get a feeling for what this blessed, awesome God, who's all of you, the universe was created for his glory and his blessing, he is now blessing us. And that's an amazing thing. So follow along now as we walk through that. First, he has blessed us. Last week, we considered the ongoing blessing of God through Jesus Christ, grace and peace to us. Always, all the time. That's wonderful. But today is slightly different. It's foundational. It's past tense. He has blessed us. This is something that he has already given us. He has blessed us. This is what you already have. He has proclaimed good over us, and his word is power. So when he has blessed us, past tense, he said, this is who you are, and he's made us to be that blessing. This is what he has done in our lives. He has done good to us, and he continues to do good to us. And notice, Paul begins by putting the focus on what God has done. He doesn't draw our minds to what we have done. In fact, this whole sentence doesn't talk about what we have done primarily. He doesn't actually get to what we have done until chapter 2, and then it's all bad. But he's getting our minds to focus for a second. He's saying, look, don't think about you for a minute, and think about what God has done, and be amazed, and see how this will impact your life. He didn't bless us because we were good. It's that you are so good, and so God responded. It says, no, look at, it says Romans 5, verse 6 says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. God blessed us. He purposed and blessed us while we were weak, ungodly. We had nothing with which to offer God. We were sinners and enemies, but he blessed us. He set his blessing upon us, grace upon grace. That's what you have now in Jesus. We deserve to be cursed. But we've been blessed. So every blessing we have is rooted in God's grace and glory. We didn't earn it. We received it. 1 Corinthians 4:7, this is just a wonderful passage. It says, for who sees anything different in you? Is there anything different in you? Anything good? Does anybody notice anything different in you? Who sees anything different in you? He said, what do you have that you did not receive? Somebody sees something good in you? What do you have that you didn't receive from God? And if you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? See, the privilege we have of being children of God is immense. And we didn't earn any of it. And so Paul's saying, look, God's blessed you. God's blessed you. Start there with how you think about yourself. He's blessed you. So I'm not going to boast in me. I'm going to boast in God who gave me all these things. He has blessed me. He's blessed you, Christian. So it's right to pray that God blesses us still. We say, bless us. That's right. But we need to root that in the reality that he has blessed us. We have in Christ this blessing of God that will never, ever change. It's not at risk. It can't be if you're trusting in him. He has blessed you. And he says, he moves on. He has blessed us. If you're a Christian, you're believing in Jesus, he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. There's no blessing that you need to make it to heaven that you do not already have now in God. Every spiritual blessing. You get that? There is no blessing that you need, important word, need, not everything you think you might need, but everything you actually need to get you to heaven. That's the goal that you do not already have right now. You can't lose that. He's given you every spiritual blessing. 2 Peter says this in chapter 1 of 2 Peter. He says, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God has given you everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. You see, these things are just repeated everywhere in the New Testament. He's given you everything you need through the knowledge of him and his glory, just everything we've already been talking about. You just preach this from 1 Peter. He's saying this is the same thing. And he said, by which, verse 4, he granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful desire. He's given us, Christian, everything you need for life and godliness, every spiritual blessing that pertains to what you need to get to heaven. Every grace, every power, every gift, so we can become partakers of this divine nature. That's what he's given us. We're drawn into his blessing. We're drawn into his glory, into the knowledge of him. Every spiritual blessing. That's opposed, and the opposite of that is worldly blessing or fleshly blessing. And that's where the confusion sets in, isn't it? We think too much about every fleshly blessing or every worldly blessing instead of every spiritual blessing. We get frustrated with God when we don't have every worldly blessing. We start to doubt and get struggle when we're focused on the worldly things. God's focus is on his glory. So he's keeping us through those trials, those hard things, for a purpose, to make us stronger, to know him better, but also to glorify himself. That's a big part of some of the trials we have. It's God showing his glory to maybe angelic beings that we don't even see, as he says, look how I keep my people. For my glory, I'm showing your growth displays his glory. All these things are happening at the same time because we have every spiritual blessing, and God is focused on doing us good, and he's going to get us there to heaven. For he's going to be glorified when it's full of people and saying, none of these people earned it. I did it. His glory. And it's our good when we get to be there. Amazing. We get to be there. It's always going to be worth it. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are seen are eternal. He's preparing for us an eternal weight of glory, and we didn't earn any of it. So Paul's reminding us, don't get wrapped up in the things that are seen, these transient things, these sufferings and these challenges, these blessings and nice things. And we say, oh, that's, enjoy it, survive it, get through it, but hold on. You have everything in Jesus, every spiritual blessing. You have glory, an eternal weight of glory before you. We get too wrapped up in this stuff, the good things here, the money, the power, and the things, but it's a trap. John says, do not love the things of the world, the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We enjoy the things of the world. There's so many things to enjoy, but we have to remember every good gift comes from God. And so where's our love? Where's our focus? So we have everything from God, every spiritual blessing. What matters most is our love for God, not to live for the things of the world, but to live for God's glory. When we believe that, when we believe we have every spiritual blessing already, then we can be at peace when we don't have every fleshly, worldly good. When we really believe I have every spiritual blessing, when things don't work out, we can have peace. Life can be disappointing, can't it? It doesn't work out the way you planned or hoped. You did everything you could, and there can be frustration. You can be working for good things, and it doesn't happen the way you want. When we get our focus right, we have every spiritual blessing. We say, God is God and I'm not, so I'm going to keep doing what God's given me to do. I have peace. We were talking last night about midlife crises, right? What's a midlife crisis? You finally make all of your decisions, and you have to live your life out now, and it didn't work out. Wow, this is hard. Kids are hard. Marriage is hard. Work's hard. And you remember back when it was all potential. Remember what's fun about being young is all potential. Potential is always fun. My life's going to be great. My marriage is going to be great. My kids are going to be great. my job's going to be fulfilling. And all these choices and potential, and we love that. Then we make all of our decisions, even if we make really good decisions, and say, wow, this is a lot harder than my youthful dream. If my hope is in this stuff, then we have a midlife crisis. I'm going to trade it all in and try again because I want that potential again. I want a new wife. I want a sports car. I want a new thing because that's going to make me happy. But it never makes you happy because then you just have a older life crisis and then another older life crisis because it never is going to do that. We have to remember it's not about the stuff. That's never going to do it. It's about having our hearts fixed on Jesus. We have every spiritual blessing in him. If we will see and find hope and peace in Jesus, God has committed his glory to getting you through all the way to heaven, which is the next thing, in the heavenly places, which is, okay, what does this mean? And he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Is that just pie in the sky? God's doing you good, but you can't feel it or know it. You just have to hope for heaven and believe that it's worth it. Well, the Bible talks a whole lot about heaven and hoping for heaven, maybe more than we're comfortable with. That's the big hope of the Bible. For most of history, that made a lot of sense because life was really, really hard, and the hope was that it'll get better in heaven. Our life is a lot easier, and so maybe we're a little bit less excited about heaven. So we're like, what is life about? What can you do for me right now? But Paul says in Colossians, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. For Paul, the most real thing is heaven. That's where you are now. He's saying, set your mind there on what's most real, much more than here. So having blessing in the heavenly places, for Paul, that's saying that's where it really matters. That's where you really need it. The biblical reality of our life is that we're hidden. The who we are is hidden with Christ and God in the heavenly places. And we won't even see that until he comes back. Then we're revealed to be who we are as we appear with him in glory. When he blesses us in the heavenly places, he blessed us where it matters. He blesses us where it lasts. So that's what Peter said. 1 Peter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance here, inheritance that is imperishable, it can't perish, undefiled, it can't be defiled, unfading, it can't fade away, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for the salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. What does it say? It says you've got an inheritance. Blessing in the heavenly places is a place where it can't go bad, it can't go wrong, can't miss it, and God's guarding you for it. That's the best place to have blessing. The lasting blessing, the lasting good where you can't ever lose it. To be blessed in the heavenly places means to be blessed forever, to be blessed where it matters. Boys and girls, you can think about this way. Your dad could or your mom could offer you a quarter for a gumball right now. It's not bad. Gumballs are pretty tasty. Or you could get $1,000 in your bank account for when you really need it. You got a quarter for a gumball, pretty tasty. Or $1,000 in your bank account for when you really need it. But you got to trust mom and dad to tell you when you really need it. You can't go home and say, I really need Legos. You got to trust. But what's the better deal, right? The better deal is not a quarter right now. It's $1,000 for when you need it. That's when we have blessed in the heavenly places, we have something that's real that can never be touched for when we need it. And when you have $1,000 in the bank, that changes how you feel right now. All of a sudden, I'm not quite so anxious about everything, right? I'm not so anxious about the bad thing that might happen. I have some money in the bank. I feel a little more secure. It's impacting how I live. I have some assurance. So much more. If we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, it's like there's nothing that can come into your life that can knock you away from God's blessing. You are so secure and so assured and so blessed. You have everything you could possibly need. You don't have to worry. Yes, we'll fully experience that in the future when we get to heaven, but we have a reality of it now. You have that now. That's who you are. Those blessings assure us and give us peace and hope They're the reality that gives us joy. Our future is certain. Peter O'Brien, he writes this. He says, the blessings of salvation which believers have received from God link them to the heavenly realms. These gracious gifts are not simply future benefits, but the present reality for us, since they have already been won for us by God's saving action in Christ. That means we're connected to that place. That's where our blessing is. I think that's what Paul means in 2 Corinthians when he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If you're in Christ, you're part of that new creation. So if you're blessed there, that's great. That's where you are. That's where you belong. That's where your life is. That's our home. Today, here, we're on a mission. We're here to work. Our blessing and reward is assured. It's already ours, so we can work with joy. This, I think, is where some of the confusion comes from, why people talk in a derogatory way about pie-in-the-sky religion. Religion that does no earthly good, right? The heavenly-minded person, I'm so heavenly-minded, I'm of no earthly good, right? And sometimes Christians say that. And that's why I think the world thinks it's so obnoxious. Because if we think we're heavenly-minded, we're no earthly good. Where's the confusion there? Well, isn't the gospel the most important thing? Isn't people believing in Jesus the most important thing? So shouldn't we just give them that? Yeah, that is the most important thing. But how are they going to believe that if we don't act like we believe it? If we act like living in it for this stuff is more important to me than helping somebody else, you realize that the Bible kind of agrees with the world when you think that way. Because the Bible says, James says this, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says, go in peace, be warmed and filled, or our thoughts and prayers, but then don't do anything good, without giving them, it's okay, I think I'll be loud enough. Go in peace and be filled without giving them the things needful for the body. What good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have work, is dead. The idea is if we are thinking like just pray for somebody without doing any good. Are we out of batteries here? No, I think I'm good. I'm good. Maybe we could just move to the microphone. Is that better? Yeah. If we believe that we are blessed in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing, then we're going to live like we believe that. Like we're not living for all this stuff. I think so. But what gets into trouble, Christians get into trouble, is when we get so fixated, it's just about giving the gospel, then we start giving ourselves excuses. And I'm putting myself in this category. And not only am I saying, I'm not saying I just believe the gospel is most important. I'm mainly saying I'm lazy. I'm not willing to do the good that's required. It is easy to say a quick prayer, and it's hard to bear somebody else's burdens. That's the issue. When we can believe, I believe the gospel is the most important thing, so I'm willing to live my life in a way that is good for you, that will help you and bless you, that displays the reality of the gospel. We give freely because God has been overwhelmingly generous to us. We do good because God has done immeasurable good to us. We love and give help because that shows the reality of the blessing here. Jesus was very clear about this. Who's your neighbor? What are we supposed to do? He didn't say, you see the person on the side of the road, they're beat up? Give them the gospel. No, you help them. We show them the reality of the gospel. We show them that we believe the gospel, that we have everything, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. We have everything that we need, so we are of immense earthly good. Yes, the gospel is the most important. Heaven is most important. If we lose everything but heaven, it's worth it. But how we live now shows the people around us how much we value the gospel, how we love them and do good to them and show them how much we believe that heaven is worth it. It shows what we're living for, heaven, or are we living for comfort? Are we living for glory, God's glory, or our ease? Are we living to be inconvenienced? Are we willing to be inconvenienced, to be generous, to suffer for others, for the glory of God? Now, we have different times of life. Sometimes you're in a place where you can't do as much. Sometimes you're in a place where you can do a lot. My point here isn't to burden you, to say, you need to be helping more people. My purpose is to show you this is the path of peace for you, to love others, to believe the gospel so much, to believe that heaven is worth it, that I have every spiritual blessing, that I don't have to protect myself unduly. I don't have to live as if this is all that matters. I can live for the glory of God by helping others and by doing good, by glorifying Jesus. For us, we need to be real about this blessing. We have it all now, so we can live for God's glory here, doing good, real good, and obeying Jesus. Because the only reason we have any of this is because it's in Christ. That's the last point. We have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, we saw last week, we are saints and faithful. In Christ, we have every blessing from God. Every bit of our relationship with God is in Christ. There's no other way into that relationship or into that blessing other than Jesus. In Acts 4, it says, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He is the only way to the Father. There is no other way but Jesus. God sent him to a helpless people to make a way for us. We have no power to make a way for ourselves. God made a way for us to be right with Jesus. And it was costly. It was the death of his son. So there aren't any other options. The other plan B is only one. It's all wrapped up in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. All of God's blessings all find their focus in Jesus. So if we want to know every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, if you want to know the blessing of God for you that you need that lasts forever, it can only be found in Jesus Christ. Paul says in Galatians, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. All the promises, all those things. We're all one now. So whatever your background is, you're one if you believe in Jesus. So all those promises that God made Abraham and the patriarchs comes and finds their focus in Jesus. And if you believe in him, that comes to you and you have all of those blessings. But they're all wrapped up in Jesus. You are an heir according to the promise of God in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places for you in Christ. With whatever your need is, you have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Beloved, you are blessed. You have Jesus. So see what you have and see what God has done and live for him. And if you haven't believed in Jesus, then this is what's being offered freely to you today, to come and live and enter into this blessing with whatever brokenness you have, with whatever need you have, whatever you're looking for. There's the big answer here. It's what you need, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places for you in Jesus Christ. If you will come and believe on him, come, believe on him and live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the love that you have shown us, and we thank you that you have worked in our lives that we might love you. And so, God, we come before you to praise you. Blessed be our God and Father, this God and Father who is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and honor you and worship you. And Lord God, we ask you now to continue with us as we praise you more, that you might help us to see the reality of what we have in Jesus and live in the joy of that light. Would you bless us more and more, that we might know more and more of how you have blessed us already in Christ and live in the joy of that light. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand together.